He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We kind of do a weekly wrap-up today, but there's also a lot going on in the market, so a lot to talk about right now. This is Bill Gunderson along with Barry Kite. Morning, Barry.
Good morning, Bill. How are you, sir?
Good, good. And today we've got the Dow up 326. Then we're bursting through 35,000, which is kind of surprising. Now, it's all about the close. 35,000 has been a pretty stiff resistance level and ceiling on the Dow. We'll see where we close. And, you know, I hate to rain on anyone's parade, but just looking underneath the market a little bit, underneath the hood, I didn't see that much strength, really. So it must be a few stocks that are really driving this. But the Dow is up 326. We'll see where it closes today. 35,239. The NASDAQ, you know, 0.3%. Pretty weak. The Dow's up 1%. The NASDAQ's up 0.3%. That kind of tells me that maybe the financials and the oil sector may be leading this rally, because the NASDAQ's really not participating that much today. And the NASDAQ is running into its 50-day moving average. We'll see how it does today, whether or not it can get through there. S&P up 29. 44.67. The small caps up 1% today. That's a good move there. 22.96 on the Russell 2000. Crude oil up 98 cents. So I want to believe that the crude oil stock's probably strong today. 82.29 on crude. Gold backs off again. You know, it's one step forward, one step back now for a long, long time with gold. Down $25 an ounce to 17.72. No backing off from Bitcoin today, up 2,400, closing in on 60,000. It's at 59,927. And the 10-year, up 5 basis points, 1.57. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite, who is our chartered financial analyst and a certified financial planner at the firm. And we've got a lot to talk about today. As usual, Barry, I spent, from about 7 a.m. to 9:30, 2.5 hours, scouring the news wires for what I thought would be the most beneficial to our listeners. That, you know, that's one of the big goals of the show, is to try to bring our listeners the very best, cutting edge, and hopefully profitable information that we can. And not only do I like to show out the good spots in the market, I like to keep people out of the bad areas of the market, and there's a lot of those. So that is kind of our goal every day, and we have a lot of fun doing it. We learned a lot this past week about inflation. It's still running hot. We learned about the supply chain. It's still running cold. A lot of empty shelves this Christmas. Going to be kind of a bah humbug Christmas. But at the end of the day, yesterday the Dow was up 534 points. And I've always said that the biggest indicator, the biggest factor of all in the market, the biggest factor of all, it's not inflation. The Fed is a big factor, but I believe there's even a bigger factor than that. When I was growing up in San Diego, we had a basketball player playing for the San Diego Rockets named the Big E, Elvin Hayes. And it's the Big E in the market that I will continue to stand by. Earnings, earnings, earnings. We've had, Barry, the best week in quite a while. in the market. And what started this week? What did we start to hear on Tuesday?
Earnings releases. I mean, Goldman.
Exactly.
Goldman, I think, is the reason the Dow is popping today. You've got, another great earnings report and a forward PE of 7.3.
I know. And that's our choice. You know, that's the one that we own in from that sector is Goldman Sachs, which to me, they're the gold standard. When you look at Wells Fargo and you look at, Citigroup and whatnot, to me, Goldman Sachs is the gold standard because they're into so many things, you know, big banker to the world and investment bank, and they're just, you know, they're a powerhouse, and that stock is up 2.4%, and that's a big part. You're right, that's a big part of the move in the Dow. Goldman Sachs is a member of the Dow. So obviously I would say that earnings season is off to a good start. How do we know that? So all you got to do is look at the market. That's all. The market tells you that. In fact, yesterday's move in the S&P 500 was the largest move in 7 months, okay? That's pretty good. We had initial jobless claims that were good. We did have a pretty hot PPI, but the market seems to be shrugging that off and looking to earnings as its biggest indicator out there. And I've always said it's earnings, earnings, earnings. And, of course, I will be updating the macro picture of the market today. We have not had that many companies report so far. You know, pretty soon the floodgates open. But the ones that have reported obviously have been good, and we'll see what that has done to forward forecast for earnings because we want to know if this market, if the S&P can continue its march towards 5,000 or if we're starting to hit an earnings peak here after 12 years of advances other than the COVID year. Yesterday, the semiconductor stocks. Did you look at AMD yesterday? Did you get a chance to look at the chart?
Yeah. I mean, it just great, you know, great strength there. I mean, it's I mean, it's up a little bit today too, but I mean, it's it's getting close to pushing that all-time high, getting close, you know, trying to track back towards 120, you know, close to 120, which it was in I believe it was early August.
Yeah, so. And you know, the name of the show is Best Stocks Now. The name of the newsletter is Best Stocks Now. The name of the app is Best Stocks Now. And I would say Best of Class would be that's the phrase I hear in my head right now. Best of Class. Goldman Sachs to me, when the financial sector is best, one of the best of class. And in the semiconductor chip sector, it just seems to me that AMD is by far best in class. When they were really way behind Intel for many, many, many years, AMD was an also-ran. And, you know, AMD, through good leadership, you know, you have
That's
to
That's exactly
give,
what I was about to say.
Yeah. I mean, you can only point to leadership and management. I can't think of their CEO.
She's done a great job there. She's one of the ones I turn the financial channels off of mute. Listen to her. When she's on there talking, her name's escaping me at the moment. But yeah, anytime I see her face, I turn the volume up.
Yeah, there is. If you invested in her when she took over AMD, I want to say AMD was a $2 or $3 stock back then, and now here it is, like you say, closing in on its all-time high of 122, which it set about 2 months ago. Okay, like we say, the market climbs that wall of worry. You know, yields are back up around 1.6, closing in on that again. I think that's got the NASDAQ not really participating today. 10 years up 5 basis points, 1.57. And, of course, the NASDAQ had a monster day yesterday. It was up 250 points. But, you know, the NASDAQ is extra sensitive to interest rates. The NASDAQ goes the opposite way of interest rate. Interest rates rise, the NASDAQ shivers and shudders. Interest rates come down, and the NASDAQ has a huge rally like it did yesterday. So you got to really watch interest rates here going forward. And we did get another big economic report on the economy today. Retail sales, which is a surprise, there must be something on the shelves, up 0.7% in September when we were looking for a small decline. I think there's a little bit of hoarding going on, which may be in those numbers. This just
could,
even
could be some early Christmas shopping, right?
I'm seeing it at my house.
Exactly. That's.
I stumbled across some toys that, you know, I might even like, you know, with the grandkids and all, that my wife thought she had hidden, but, you know, I found them. Anyways, that retail sales come in better than expected. Dow is the one having the big day today. The NASDAQ is lukewarm right now. But, look, we can't complain because we've had a pretty good week. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Moderna. Tina, what is Tina? And Bitcoin closing in on 60,000. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. The Dow up 335. Bitcoin did take 60,000 here during the break with anticipation any day now of the SEC approving Bitcoin ETFs. And so Bitcoin above 60,000. But you get a good feel for the flavor, the temperature of today's market. The leading NASDAQ stocks, there's 100 stocks that make up the NASDAQ composite. They're all non-tech stocks leading the NASDAQ today. J.B. Hunt, a trucker, up 6%. Marriott, a hotelier, up 3%. Expedia Group, up 2.8%. I think that might be on the booster shot news. We'll see. American Airlines up 2%, a railroad stock, CSX up 2%. You don't really get to a tech stock until you get to Broadcom, which is up just a mere 1.4%. So hardcore tech, which, you know, software, semiconductors and stuff like that, social media, not really participating in today's move in the market. But they're not down either, okay? They're just very, very tepid, very, very lukewarm today. And I was looking at the Dow. It was just a couple of stocks, really. AXP, which is American Express, Goldman Sachs, Visa. You know, the credit card companies are more than likely responding today to the retail sales news. The more retail sales, the more transactions they do. So, yeah, I mean, it looks good on the surface, but like any other day, you know, a lot of days, Barry, it doesn't look good on the surface, and I dive down and look at individual stocks. Recently, within the last 2 weeks, we have had some monster days here at the firm, while the indexes were not that great, right?
Yeah, I mean, we call market risk, and you have stock-specific risk, and, you know, when we're... You know, we look at market risk when you're looking at the macro level, but when we're going in and you're diving under the hood and you know, creating the baskets or portfolios of individual stocks, that's when you're kind of breaking apart what's their, you know, correlation or market level risk, and then what's their, you know, what we call stock specific risk, meaning
exactly
what's unique to, say, Apple, right, that makes them go up versus, you know, the part of, you know, the Apple that owns, you know, basically makes up roughly 6% of the S&P. Well, you know, when we're all, you know, when folks are contributing to their 401k, purchasing, you know, index S&P funds or what have you, right? Well, you know, 6% of that purchase essentially is going towards Apple. And so that has a, you know, has an impact on the stock, but also, you know, the all the events that Apple does, all their individual products,
right,
individual, you know, patents, right? That plays into the names as well, and, you know, a lot of this stock-specific risk and stock picking has really kind of paid off in the last few weeks.
Yeah, you know, other than there's always a few stinkers that are giving me heartburn, but it just seems like, I mean, we've been fortunate. We've been in a lot of the right places recently when the rest of the market just was kind of, the Dow has been sideways for months. Okay, you can look at today and say, well, it's up 300, it's back above 35,000. But if you look at a chart of the Dow over the last 12 months, you will see that for 9 months now, it's been sideways. That will show up when you look at the newsletter, which I'm really pushing to get this thing out today, all right? And I think I've got it covered to get the newsletter. So you're going to get this newsletter in your hands. The ink will still be wet. But look at the charts right now. It gives you a good feel for the big disparity in the market, the stuff that is not working, that is just dead in the water, and the stuff that is vibrant. And you'll also notice how many sideways charts there are in the indexes. So you have to be a stock picker right now to make anything of this market at the current time. And also look at that macro outlook. If it's earnings, earnings, earnings. My macro outlook is all about earnings. And that's going to be a very important one to look at because we now have some data on this third quarter earnings. So we'll see where it goes. All right, Moderna, they get unanimous backing for a booster shot. I read Israel's not going to consider you to be your vaccination status to be current unless you're current on your booster shots too. So it almost seems like, you know, just a never-ending type of thing. Right now, I think one-third of the nation, I saw that somewhere, is not vaccinated. Two-thirds are. And now, of course, they're recommending these booster shots from all of these.
Israel has a great data set. You know, I mean,
yeah.
The fact is they had, you know, their population was, you know, one of the first in terms of, or the first in terms to be, you know, kind of that herd immunity and full,
yes.
You know, kind of almost, you know, in terms of having a huge portion of their population vaccinated. And so they've got, you know, a great data set in terms of, hey, you know, they got to see how, you know, the variant, you know, Delta affected them. And like you said, they're, you know, it seems to me that they're, you know, they think boosters are, you know, a requirement, not,
yeah.
not an option, in other words.
Yeah. And they have a much more controlled environment than the rest of the world. So, yeah, you know, you got to watch what they're doing, what's working, what's not working, and everything like that. Ever hear of this is the first time I've heard of the Tina trade, which is there is no alternative.
Yeah, so when you said that, I went to Google and eventually found it. There's there is no alternative, meaning
to stocks.
Right, and that's what the Fed does. You go back to 2008-2009, right? You know, the goal is to kind of, you know, push you into to reinflate the economy, to push you in risk assets, right?
Yes.
Which is, you know, theoretically, right, away from bonds, given low yields. And, you know, it's the same reason why, you know, a majority of our clients hold a lot more equities longer in retirement than you know, our old financial planning books.
Yes.
In the past, right?
Yes, yes. And you know, I mean, money sitting in CDs doesn't really help the economy.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
They want you moving it into higher risk stuff. Someday it's all going to come crashing down. You know, there will be another bear. And that's why we always have our antennas up looking in the rearview mirror. But at the same time, you got to continue to make hay while the sun shines. And the saying that you don't want to fight the Fed has been really, really true. I think of these guys that have fought the market for the last 10 years, the Peter Schiffs of the world and the others, and they've been dead wrong year after year after year because they haven't learned a simple lesson. You don't want to fight the Fed. All right.
What is it? Economists have called 10 out of the last two recessions?
Yes, that's exactly right. They're always pessimistic. Always. Okay, Bitcoin. Imminent Bitcoin futures ETFs. Okay, so that there aren't any out there right now. GBTC is a trust. And I own a little bit of GBTC. That's really the only game in town. Then there's another one on Ethereum, ETHE.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a plethora of ETFs, and that can only drive Bitcoin higher because it's going to increase the demand. And they think that by Monday we could have Bitcoin futures ETFs approved by SEC. That's why you're seeing this celebration and 60,000 mark getting crushed today in Bitcoin. A lot of individual stocks to talk about when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the S&P has broken above its 50-day moving average, which has served as resistance here for the last 6 weeks. But having said that, it's all about where it closes, and I do see it's kind of running into technical resistance here. And I said if it's going to get through that technical resistance, it's going to take earnings to do it. And at least we had enough in the way of earnings. We've had three good days in a row if we finish today up. And it definitely coincides with the 3 days of earnings reports, because this all really began Tuesday after the close. And so we had a good day on Wednesday. We had a good day on Thursday. And we're having a good day so far today. You can't point to anything else except for earnings. And the reason the NASDAQ is not participating today is you've got interest rates up 5 basis points, probably on the better-than-expected retail sales, which the Fed is watching every economic report and deciding when to start tapering. Okay, you know, all of this, I don't know how this is all going to end with Bitcoin and all of these digital coins. Now you've got non-fungible tokens, which, you know, you're really, it's really sketchy. You know, you had J.P. Morgan CEO say that Bitcoin is worth nothing. Jamie Dimon says it's worth nothing. What's a non-fungible token worth? You know that there was so much demand on Coinbase's site yesterday because they're going to add non-fungible tokens? There were 1.35 million signups on Coinbase's platform yesterday to get in on the not-yet-launched non-fungible token platforms. So, you know, like you're buying a piece of, I don't know, Paul McCartney's original penciled out words to one of the great Beatles songs, or all kinds of different things like that, that, you know, that's going to be profitable for Coinbase. We'll see how profitable it ends up being for the investors. It just seems like at some point, Barry, when you're buying something so obscure, this non-fungible tokens and digital coins, it can't end well. But in the meantime, look at how it's rocking and rolling.
Well, I take into, you know, our two youngest ones are 9 and 7 right now. All three of them are boys. But we're, you know, they've been hounding me to keep going through my, you know, baseball cards and basketball cards, right? And so I'm like equating this to, you know, maybe like their kids, right? And it's like, it's like, Dad, let me see your phone or whatever device we have at that point, right? To go through our non-fungible tokens. I mean, they can actually touch and hold the cards, right? And display them. I mean, you know, they're in cases in their room on the wall. They love sports, but I just don't know. I don't know what I would do with the non-fungible token. I mean, basically, it's just hoarding. Is really way I look at it.
But I don't know. Well, I'm sticking with AMD stock, owning a piece of a company.
Yeah,
that
Lisa
has a product.
Su, by the way, and we got to give her credit. Lisa Su is the CEO. It came to me after the first break, but she actually hit her anniversary, 7 years as CEO since I think 2014. She took over sometime early October.
Okay, Mr. Actuary, figure out how much if you would have invested $10,000 on AMD 7 years ago. how much it'd be worth today.
Okay. Yes.
At least our stocks and our portfolios are fungible. Okay.
Upstart. Yeah, you can always at least get a stock certificate, right? If you really want one, you can always get them to send it in certificate.
I can go drive by the company, and you know, I loved it when I lived in California. I used to visit the Bay Area, and I'd drive by. Look, there's Apple headquarters, and there's Tesla plant, and you know, that's fungible. I don't know what I have when I own a Bitcoin. All right, well, another big term in today's world is fintech, and I prefer fintech. Okay, so you've got your traditional banks. That model has been around for a long, long, long time. And most of that, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs. But underneath the surface, you see, you've had PayPal come along. You've had Square come along, which are not, you have SoFi now, fintech. And, of course, you can invest. There's some fintech ETFs. Of course, Kathy Woods has a big fintech ETF. That stock yesterday that we were talking about, Upstart, Jim Cramer, I guess, was pumping it while we were doing the show or something.
Oh, really?
That was one of the reasons it was
okay,
up.
I got you.
But, you know, Cramer likes the fintech stocks, and Upstart is one of them. SoFi, I own SoFi for quite a while. It was one of the higher quality SPACs, which is another new term here in the year 2021, SPACs. SoFi, actually, the Rams play in SoFi Stadium, the Los Angeles Rams. And that is another fintech stock. PayPal's a fintech stock. So, yeah, I do like, and you know, another word that I've always liked in this industry, and I've seen plenty of them in my two decades in the business, are disruptors, right?
Well, you hit the card companies earlier, talking about American Express, Visa,
exactly.
and MasterCard. And to me, you know, you take our disruptor Aspire, right? So,
yep.
You know, in a firm, right?
A firm.
That's one we own.
Right.
And so you take them, and I started thinking, I'm like, you know, what, you know, a lot of folks, even when you forget, you know, most of those card companies, they don't actually hold the balance. They're just making, you know, more transactions.
Yeah, they have no risk. Yeah, they don't hold the debt.
Right, but you think of Visa, right? And take Visa, because Visa's been one of the better tech side of all those. You know, they've been, you know, faster at this, you know, kind of the PayPal-ish of the world, right? They've been kind of the tech player, at least in the card space.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you take, you know, if we're buying essentially, you know, things on, you know, from a firm, right? Well, we're not using Visa, right? We're
no.
Even if we pay our card off at the end of the month, you know, it's just like, you know, a firm is an alternative, or pay,
exactly,
you know, Apple
and
Pay.
I've noticed that these big credit card companies, they've really cooled off, while these upstarts, pardon the pun there,
yeah,
Upstart,
right,
and SoFi and a firm, they've been on fire. So,
well, it's just more and more competition.
There's disruption.
You know, they were the only three players. I mean, you throw Discover in there, right?
Yeah, American, you know, Express,
right.
Visa,
but
MasterCard.
Now with all these, you know, these other disruptors and alternative payment methods, you know, it's no longer, you know, just their little ball game anymore, right, in terms of market share.
Yeah. Okay, now the current state of the bond market, you know, we're fully invested there, and if I were to buy something new, it would be probably a hedge against rising interest rates, but we haven't got to that point yet. But, you know, to get up into the anything over 4, you've got to really go out on a limb as far as quality. But I saw two offerings today, and I said, yeah, Weatherford, okay, which is declared bankruptcy a few times. It's an oil and gas drilling company. Oil's 8 5/8 due 2030. So yeah, you can get an 8 5/8 return out there annually, but you've got to buy a really low quality. And I saw the second one here, Tidewater, which is about the same, 8.5%. And on the surface, you say, wow, that's a good return. Where can I get 8.5% in today's world? But you got the risk. You got a lot of risk there, credit risk, in going out on a limb like that in the bond market. Okay, Virgin Galactic, they fall to a 5-month low. They pushed back. They were going to have commercial service where, you know, anybody could buy a ticket for a little spin in space. but they pushed it back to the end of next year. I would not buy the space stocks. I don't see a, who knows? I mean, this is another a kind of a fad kind of thing with space and Virgin Galactic and different. In fact, you know, I mean, there are space ETFs. That's all I know. They're at the bottom of the heap in the best stocks now. How do you scale that?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to shoot 20 rockets a day up to space?
It's a novelty.
Right.
But you've got people that are buying it. You have to say to yourself, is there going to be consistent revenue and earnings growth? Is this a giant growth industry with huge demand that's not being met? I mean, when you look at the price of buying a ticket, I'm sure, yeah, you get William Shatner up there and other people, but is the average common person going to pay that kind of money for a ride into the stratosphere?
When we talk about volatility, not just within those stocks, but you could have an accident at any point in time and it changes the entire,
conversation,
right?
Still remember, you know, the some of the accidents over there. When we come back, a lot of the individual stocks, Alcoa, Matterport, Schwab, Goldman Sachs, and a few featured stocks of the day. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. You gotta go where you wanna go. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Of course, this week's newsletter will have a very timely update on the earnings season and what impact it's having on future earnings expectations. And that really plays into the future of the market. So important newsletter coming out today. We made a few new buys here this past week. You'll be able to see those. I do send out 2 free weeks to new folks that want to sample the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Otherwise, you have to be a client or a live trading subscriber to see all the portfolios and everything. All right, the stocks that I want to feature today, it was pretty easy to pick these. Okay, Barry, check a chart, a one-year chart or whatever, of Alcoa, AA. Look at the chart today. AA. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a definition of a gap up.
Yes. So to say their inflation is transitory, it's pretty hard to make that argument. That, you know, and look, hey, Alcoa's been ranked. It moved to my top. It was 111 here about 2 weeks ago. It's been in the top 300 probably for a few months. I just couldn't bring myself to buy Alcoa because it's such a cyclical. I mean, it's either really in favor or really out of favor. It was one time a member of the Dow, and it was traditionally the first company that would report earnings. But here you've got a stock, Alcoa, AA, that is just exploding. It's up 15% today.
Yeah, it's a and look at the 52-week low. Was it? I think it's around 12. Was it like
17
around 12 and a half? Is that what it is? Yeah.
17, and it's 55 today. It's a triple since January. So there's no way you can make the argument that there's no inflation and that it's transitory. Aluminum. I'll tell you, I was talking to my wife about this. Pretty soon, you're not going to be able to get carbon dioxide for soft drinks, and I guess if you're a beer drinker. And, of course, the aluminum cans are going up. They're skyrocketing. So we'll see what the price of beverages, canned beverages does going forward here in the future. I know I paid $11 for two 12-packs of Mountain Dew. That's the most I've paid in a long time. But I think all of this is going a lot higher. If Alcoa was a member of the Dow still, the Dow would be up probably 500 or 600 points today. Okay, and then here's a companion stock, Century Aluminum, CENX, which is a much smaller player. But nevertheless, it's an aluminum company. And that's just a gorgeous stock chart on Century Aluminum, which, you know, if you look at a one-year chart, you will see a very, very typical saucer pattern, you know, where it's been rounding, has a rounding bottom here. And that means it's in an accumulation phase, and you see a breakout on Century Aluminum today, which is CENX. So aluminum. I don't think there's an aluminum ETF. There's not enough stocks to fill up an aluminum ETF. Let's just look at the basic material IYM ETF today. That's pretty strong. Look at IYM, which is the Dow Jones Basic Materials Index, iShares, and another one that I track a lot is DBC. It's having a very solid day, too. That's the Invesco Commodity Index. So you're talking oil. Copper hit a 13-year high this past week.
Yeah,
aluminum,
over 10,000.
No. Yeah, exactly. It retook 10,000 again. Uranium's going up, coal is going up, oil is going up. What isn't going up? Everything going up right now as far as input cost. And so the commodity index, DBC, doing pretty well. You probably can get exposure to aluminum in some of those indexes. And then the third one, didn't we write up digital turbines, apps, APPS?
We did.
That stock is heating up again. It really went through a sour patch. You know, this stock was $1 a share just 2 years ago. Today it's $87 a share. It's a little bit of an AMD turnaround play in what they do, which is pretty much, isn't it pretty much a digital advertising kind of a platform?
Yeah, so they, you know, think of, you know, it's one of those interesting companies to write about because it's partly some of the things that probably annoy us all on our phone, right?
Yes.
Pop-up ads and other
yes.
things, but you know, they're tied in with the device makers. Their stuff is automatically loaded, you know, kind of on your on a lot of those phones, you know, both on iOS and on the Android platform. And so, you know, that chart is looks very constructive. Of course,
yes.
The stock comes with some volatility. All you got to do is look at
it's
what's
volatile.
Happened since, you know, since basically February.
Yeah.
But it's, they have a viable, to me, it's a very viable model. And they had some issues, and you know, when iOS was going to come out because they were, you know, iOS had their, you know, the new security and ad security in terms of tracking. But they've kind of, I think, worked through some of those headaches, and you can see the chart taking off.
Yeah, it's taken off APPS, which is $8.4 billion. And, of course, we have we made a lot of money in the trade desk, which was pretty much a disruptor in that digital advertising space. But we cashed in on the trade desk back in February, and I'm glad I did because the trade desk got cut in half after that. The trade desk was another one. It was a dollar stock in 2016, and it got clear up to 92. And we decided to take our profits in February, March, when those high PE stocks started to collapse. And the trade desk has made a modest comeback, but it's awfully expensive. Digital turbines apps, on the other hand, makes a little bit more sense. So there you go. Century Aluminum, Alcoa, and Digital Turbines. Which is in the digital media. Okay, well, we're out of time for the week here. It was a very, very interesting week. We were up. Our AUM soared this past week. We had a very good week. We were in a lot of the right places at the right time. And going forward is going to be all about earnings. I know we have all these problems in the supply chain and inflation and empty shelves and tapering. But at the end of the day, watch those bottom line earnings coming from these important companies, especially the ones that make up the S&P 500. Get today's newsletter. It'll be a blockbuster at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like some active versus passive management, give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.